Jerry, to start with, a lot of people know it as Rich Harvest Farms, but I guess it's Rich Harvest Farms and Rich Harvest Links. And I guess both of those names are actually correct.
Yeah, that's right, Rory. When we bought the property out here, we named it Rich Harvest Farms because of all the acreage that we had and the corn and soybeans that we grew. But when I built the golf course, I wanted to distinguish the farming part from the golf course. So I called it Rich Harvest Links, and it worked out great because as we finish the golf course, we play 9 holes out and we play 9 holes back, and a lot of the holes are linked together like the old course at St. Andrews.
Jerry, you know, obviously when you look ahead on the calendar, you've got a series of tournaments coming up. You host the Northern Illinois University Invitational every year, but now you have an NCAA Regional, you have a Western Amateur, you have the International Crown, you have the Western Golf Association Junior event, and I know you're looking at the possibility of more crowns and some other events, and you know, that's a bit of a crowded calendar, and it's usually more than most clubs would like to take on, but you've decided to do so. Tell us a little bit about the thought behind that.
Well, Roy, we can do that a little bit easier than most clubs because we have a very small membership, and I try to keep my membership advised 2, 3, 4 years in advance of exactly what tournaments are coming about. And I keep them involved as volunteers and what have you, and they really enjoy the amateur events. And it goes along with my Kids Golf Foundation that I've created here. I mean, I get the high school girls, the high school boys. I mean, everybody is energized with all of our amateur events. So we're a very unusual golf club because we have all of these opportunities to showcase our amateurs and bring our juniors out to really witness some of the great amateur golf, because this is really the growth of the game.
Talk a little bit about the International Crown event. It was just announced this year, and even though it will be one edition will be played before it comes to Rich Harvest Links, no one's seen it yet. The people probably still don't know what it is because it's still a tournament that hasn't happened. Obviously, you were involved in the thought process and the design on how the format's going to work. Tell people a little bit about the International Crown. They might have even seen your billboard out there, but they still don't really know what it is.
That's true. And when we put it together, we really made sure that we came up with a tournament after the Solheim Cup that would showcase the best women golfers in the world, where the Solheim Cup really showcases the best women golfers in Europe and America. And so when I sat down with the commissioner of the LPGA, we put our heads together and we said, first of all, the best women golfers in the world are not from America and are not from Europe. If you take the top 100 women golfers in the world, 60% of them are from Asia. So we had to create a match play tournament which would allow the Asians to be part of that. And then we decided, as we moved along in our thought process, is that we would crown the best country of the world. And the Asians, like the Americans, I mean, if they're crowned the best country in the world, you can imagine how the spectators will pick up on that. And that's going to be the growth of the game through women's golf. And this is really going to give them a shot in the arm.
I'm sure you're looking forward to 2016, and being that that's 3 years away, it seems like a long way off, but as a lot of people who've put on major championships, you get them sometimes 5, 6, 7 years in advance, and they seem like a long way away. Heck, the Ryder Cup seemed like a long way away when Medina first got it, but now it's already come and gone, and it's in our rearview mirror, but I'm sure the Crown Championship will be here at Rich Harvest Links before you know it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, we were working on the International Crown a year and a half before it was announced in January of this year at the PGA show down in Orlando. And so that's a year and a half, and it's still over 3 years, or it's a little over 3 years away. And it keeps us busy. We've got 4 staff people that are working on it 8 hours a day, and we're really getting ready for it. The excitement is being generated through the corporate community. We're generating the excitement through the juniors, all of the high school girls within 5 states. In fact, we did a database that covers The number of girls, high school girls, that are in those five states, and it numbers 18,000. And we're looking for sponsors right now, and we've got a couple that are already on board that are looking at sponsoring these girls, bring them into the tournament. We're sure when the tournament gets here, we'll probably have at least 10,000 juniors that will be here at the tournament, along with the spectators. And we look at, in 16 for the International Crown, that the spectator count will probably far exceed what we did for the Solheim Cup. And we had 120,000 spectators in 2009.
As you know, tournaments don't happen overnight, and your golf course, unlike many others, it didn't really happen overnight either. First of all, tell us about the amount of property that you have here, and then you acquired that, and then at what point you decided you were going to use a couple hundred of those acres to finally build a golf course?
My wife and I always wanted to own a farm. As it turned out, we ended up owning 10 farms, which total about 1,800 acres. It was never my intention to build a full 18-hole golf course. When we first bought the property, we talked about adding a few holes where I could go out and practice. And as time went on, as I went into the design process, I designed the first three, and then I thought, gee whiz, why don't we do six, and we can have a nice rotation of three sixes. And as we completed that, we went on with the process, and we said, gee, if we added three more, we'd have three nines, nine greens, but we'd have a rotation, which would make three nines. Then we added a tenth hole and an 11th hole. And after about 8 years, we decided we only had seven more holes to go, so we might as well finish it. And we finished the golf course in 1998, and we've enjoyed working on it for the last 20-some years, and it's been fun. And because of the design, when I originally put the process together, I thought that I really like match play, and I would design a truly match play to challenge the best amateurs in the world, and we've done that. And that's why we've attracted so many great amateur events to our facilities.
When you look back at the numbers, it's 18 holes in 13 years from start to completion of the 18-hole golf course that you currently have. When you stop and you look back at that, you think about it, and you're going, is there any part of you that ever says, geez, why did I just build 18 holes all at once?
Well, like I mentioned before, it was never my intention to build an 18-hole golf course. And, of course, when we completed it, it turned out really magnificent. And the hardest thing in the design and doing it piecemeal was trying to make absolutely sure, as I added additional holes, that all of the holes that were added looked like they were all designed at the same time. And so when we finally decided to finish the golf course, and we had seven to do, the last seven holes were in acreage that was fairly flat. And I knew at that point in time that I had to move a lot of dirt to equal the 11 holes that I had built originally. And we did move a lot of dirt. And one of the challenges that I always give to everybody that comes here is, when you complete the 18 holes, tell me what the original six were. And it's been very difficult. A few have gotten close, but nobody's done it yet.
Jerry, you for years, you wanted to build your own golf course. You grew up maybe wanting to get into golf course design before you ventured into other areas. But as you started to piece the golf course together, what was it like for you to finally stand out there, maybe with a blueprint or a sketch you had made under your arm, and direct the people and watch those holes come together?
Well, it was very, very exciting. It's a interest that I had ever since I started as a caddy at Butterfield Country Club in 1948. I used to doodle green complexes on scorecards, and I'd take them home, and I used to have a cigar box full of these doodles that I did. It's something I always had an interest in, and when we finally had the property where I could actually sit down and do the drawings and hire a contracting firm to come in and finally do the shaping and what have you. And what was interesting in the very beginning was that the contracting firm that I hired had never done any work on a golf course. They dug basements for homes, and they weren't even golfers. But they had all of the machinery that we needed. So I was able to sit down with them And I finally, because they couldn't even give me a price because they really had never done anything like this before, so the first six holes were done on a time and material. Every week, every day I was there, I signed time cards on a weekly basis. I did the payout for them. And after about a year, they finished the first six holes, got it seeded, grassed it in. They ended up being one of the great earth movers as far as remodeling for golf courses in the Chicagoland area.
If you could put an estimate on it, how many days, how many hours did you stand out there between workers during the different phases and direct people around to the holes that you had created on paper?
I have no idea. It was 8 hours a day all summer long for almost 8 years. And, of course, in the wintertime, you're thinking constantly about changes, modifications, and how to improve it. So for the last 20-some years, it's an ongoing process. It's something that I do every day. I talk to my superintendents how to make the golf course better, how to put it in better condition as time goes on. And then, so, I mean, it's out of 24-hour day, it's probably 8 hours a day that I'm thinking about the golf course.
You have a gold nine and a silver nine out there, but is there one hole that was, shall we say, the most fun to do, or one that maybe turned out exactly the way you hoped when you first drew it up?
I spent a lot of time designing each of the holes. People ask me that all the time, and what I normally tell them, every one is very unique. It's not like you play the first two holes and you pretty much know how the rest of the golf course is going to be played. I wanted to make every hole stand out, have its own features to it, have its own design, and not have one hole look exactly like the next. As far as the one hole that I would probably pick out all over the others, I mean, they're all 18 are my favorite, but I would think the number one handicap, which is 8 gold, and number two handicap, which is 4 silver, are probably my two favorite. Number 6 gold was rated by the Chicago District. They rated 18 great holes in the Chicagoland area about 7 or 8 years ago, and number 6 gold was rated as one of the top par fours in the Chicago District. So I'm very, very happy and very proud about that.
Now, when it comes around to your members or their guests, which hole generates the most, shall we say, talk or conversation once they get a chance to come out and play it?
I think the one that they talk about the most is probably Sam Snead's crotch. And it's the shortest par four on the golf course. It's part of history because first time Sam ever played it, and it's the only hole that I know of in the world that's got an oak tree right in the center of the fairway. But if you play it correctly, it's a 220 draw or 240 draw or 260 draw, and you've got to hit that yardage. And if you don't, you've got problems with a few trees. Well, when Sam played it for the first time, he says, "Jerry, you're standing on a tee, where do I hit the ball?" I said, "Sam, 220 yards with a little draw and you'll be dead perfect." He hit the shot. It bounced once, it hit the tree, and went into a crotch of the oak tree. And when we got up to the ball, he looked at it, he tapped it came out 8 inches, he was about 130 yards. He hit it 134 yards just to the left of the pin, made the putt, and made par. And 10 years later, when I finished the golf course, I named all of the holes. And when I got the number 3 gold, it was pretty easy. It was called Sam's or Snead's crotch. And everybody enjoys playing that hole because it's got a lot of history, and it is a tough little rascal.
Jerry, the first real exposure that Rich Harvest Farms had to a lot of golf fans was during the 2009 Solheim Cup here. You've told me that you've done a couple of things to the golf course. What has changed on the golf course since 2009 that when people come out here to see one of the college events, the Western Am, the International Crown in a few years, that might look a little different to them, especially if they're golfers and they remember some of the golf holes?
We added some golf paths to make it a little easier for spectators to get around. One of the big things we've done over the last 3.5 years is we've taken out a lot of the scrub grasses in various areas and opened up the vistas. So some of the vistas on the golf course are really magnificent now. So you can stand on one of the tee boxes or behind some of the tee boxes where before you were obstructed from a lot of brush and what have you. And we've cleaned all that out, and the vistas have really, really turned out magnificent.
And it looked like you've also added some tee boxes. A couple of them were put in for the Solheim Cup. You've also added a few so that in the one case you're actually not teeing off on two holes at the same time before you put a ball into play. So between the Solheim Cup and since, how many new tee boxes were added out there?
For the tee box, for the Solheim Cup, we added two or three new tee boxes. And since then, we've remodeled about a half a dozen others, expanded them, created a lot more teeing positions, mostly on the par threes. And it's really helped an awful lot. The members really appreciate that.
You have your fair amount of trees out here. I know that you've always been slow to not want to go ahead and jump on the bandwagon like some other courses had and just knock out a lot of trees for air and sunlight and other things. But you have taken a few out, and how do you feel that overall it's helped your conditioning? It seems like, as I see it today, Rich Harvest Farms looks like it's in the best condition I've ever seen the golf course in.
You're right, Rory. We, over the past 4 or 5 years, we had to take out probably 30 or 40 trees. And for taking out most of those trees did help the air movement on the fairways as well as a lot of the greens, and really has helped the turf and our superintendents a lot. In Aurora, and there's 29 communities that the Metro Station handles all the way into Chicago. So we're looking on putting a marketing campaign for bringing people in from the city. They don't have to drive. They go to Union Station. They can take the train out. Aurora just built a brand new River's Edge park, which is right on the Fox River. It's only 2.5 blocks away from the casinos and the restaurants. The mayor, Tom Weisner, has done a wonderful job. You can listen to music while you're here. We'll be busing everybody from the train station. It's a 15-minute bus ride over the Rich Harvest. You can watch the tournament for 5 or 6 hours, be bused back to the train area, do a little gambling, enjoy some of the restaurants in town, listen to a little music, have 10 beers, get on a train. You don't have to worry about driving. So we're looking forward to bringing a lot of spectators and creating a lot of fun for them.
Anything else major that or even minor that you're thinking of doing with the golf course in preparation for some of the championships coming up?
Well, we're constantly working on our greens and making them better in our fairways also. Really, the golf course right now is about as far as we're going to take it. And it's just a matter of just additional grooming. And we're ready for the championships starting next year for the NCAA regional tournament, and then moving on toward all the other amateur events that we have.